Today is Monday, April 30th, and I hereby welcome you to the Monday Morning Esports Talk. I am DT and I am the host of this show. Thank you very much for joining me. Today, as teased last week, we will talk about the coronation of the crownless king, with Royal Never Give Up winning the LPL Spring Split 2018 Finals versus Edward Gaming on Saturday. Man, there's so much to talk about in this series. I'm not really sure where to start, but I'll try. Because it was a great series. I think it lived up to the hype, and in my opinion, it kind of felt more like chess than an actual League of Legends series, with these many lineup swaps and the interesting changes in pick and ban phases which were brought with them. For example, the MLXG sub in game 2, Killoff joining EDG in game 3, and as a result, let me going in for RNG in the same game. I think it's crazy that regions like NA and EU haven't implemented this tool of changing tactics in a series, as time and time again in China and Korea it has shown to be very effective. But, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here, and let's stay within this series. In game 1 and game 2 respectively, we had very straightforward performances, in my opinion, from both teams, where the team that actually won the game in the end took it upon themselves to win the game from start to finish, in my opinion. So it was interesting to see that both of these teams were kind of like playing their game and making sure that they did it from beginning to end, and the other team didn't really have anything to say about it back to them. But I have to say that after game 2, where RNG showed they could come back from a lost game 1, in the fashion they were able to come back, because they were unfazed by it. We saw Uzi coming on the stage after game 1, going into game 2, and he had a smile on his face. He's a player, it's no secret that he's a player who was, he is or was very prone to tilting in a series. And I think that everyone could see that this is going to be a different story. Now, when looking at the scoreboards for game 3 and game 4, one could think that these games were as straightforward as game 1 and game 2 were. But if you do that, you are definitely mistaken. Let me just reiterate what happened in game 4. At the start of the game, MLXG gets bullied in jungle on his Nocturne pick, on his red buff, and on his Wolf's camp. But RNG as a team are able to turn it around afterwards with 2 kills and getting Ming on the double buff from Clearlof, stealing it from him in return. But however, they still get behind in gold until the Baron fight at the 23 or 24 minute mark. But now talking about this Baron fight, or talking about these Baron fights in general, it was their ability to take control of objectives even when they weren't in a perfect position to do so which made the differences in these games, or made the difference in these games. Clearlof, who got subbed on from game 3 onwards, got bullied and wrecked in both games, taking away the 1 minute where he bullied the MXG. Other than that, he kind of got wrecked in both games on Trundle. Now seeing that Ming was able to kill him in sort of like a 1v1 in the jungle, and especially like I said in game 4, he died way too easily, way too often. Now talking about the Nocturne pick in game 4, after the series, MLXG talked about how they use Nocturne mainly for its ultimate, which at least for me makes this pick, and like picks of this caliber in general, very hard to evaluate. Because on stream, you can't really see its impact, because you can see everything. Like, when there's a Nocturne ultimate, you can't really see its impact, like I said. But, like, the Baron steal, in inverted commas, in game 4 showed what picks like Nocturne are able to do. And I just want to mention 2 more things about this series. I think this best of 5 really showed how developed RNG are in their style of play. And they were really able to show that they are capable to win the game in so many ways. Especially the ability for Uzi and Ming to pick a Zaya Rakan combo stands for that, in my opinion, because Uzi, well, he always received a lot of flack for not playing Zaya, especially in Worlds last year. But he has already shown that he has adapted to playing the champion beforehand. And now being able to pull it off in a series deciding game and especially excel on it like they did, which they weren't able to do before. Like I said, he was able to play the champion, but he wasn't really that confident on it and comfortable on it, like on his other champs, of course. But like I said, being able to put it off in a series like this or in a game like this and to decide the championship, it shows how many layers of preparation went into this matchup, and RNG really did a good job. And the last thing, and maybe this is kind of a segue to the upcoming topic or the upcoming 2 minutes that I want to talk about MSI. Well, RNG are super strong when it comes to punishing mistakes from their opponents. I already mentioned Klealove and him dying too quickly. It was only possible because RNG didn't give them any place for mistake. There was no spot for a mistake. As soon as they gave them 1 inch, or especially Klealove now, talking about Klealove again, he gave them 1 inch of being out of position. RNG did not hesitate in the slightest to make sure he gets to pay for that. Or there, I remember on top of my head, I remember there was one play on bot lane where they got lane ganked, and they were it was game three, I believe, with Let Me on Shen, where they were able to almost go from being two players or being like the bot lane to five players in like no time. Or well, Ornn, there was this Ornn cancel of the ultimate from Shen, but the shield went through, and there were four players bot lane all of a sudden, and they made sure that EDG had to pay for this mistake. And I think that this is one of the many qualities that RNG possesses that are really different for an opponent to deal with. And now this maybe brings me to a small portion of this episode, which concerns itself with the future, and the future in League of Legends brings us to the mid-season Invitational 2018, which will actually start this Thursday with the play-in stage. And I will definitely dedicate more time to this, of course, in a future episode, but I can't not mention the following: that we will see the arguably best ADCs of all time of their respective regions, and this would be Rek'Sai for EU, Doublet for NA, Prey for Korea, and Uzi for China. And well, maybe there's an argument for one more than the other, but I think that those are the best ADCs of their respective regions of all time. And it makes it especially interesting because each of them now are on the best team of the region, obviously, so or else they wouldn't go to MSI. But I can't really recall this being the case for them being on the best teams of at the same time. So this will be really interesting to see, especially in ADC centric meta like we have it now, how each of them will perform, and how each of them will make will or how who can make a difference going into MSI. I think the group stage will start in, I believe, 10 days. I'm not sure, but I think in 2 weeks. I think the MSI goes until the 20th. And I'm not sure, but like I said, I will definitely dedicate more time to this in a future episode, either next week or the week after. But I just wanted to mention it quickly because this is really, really interesting, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this will pan out. What's happening this week turns into what else is happening this week, kind of, as we are looking what else is scheduled for the week ahead and tomorrow. Or like tonight, tomorrow, depends on your time zone. IEM Sydney will kick off, where the CS:GO Elite will meet once again, 1 week after DreamHack Marseille, which was covered in the last week's episode. So check that out if you haven't already. And well, many questions are to be asked about this tournament. For example, will Astralis manifest their newly acclaimed number one spot on the HLTV rankings, or will FaZe, or well, even number two, Fnatic, make sure to kick them off their throne? How will SK react to being eliminated from the group stage in France? And well, many more questions will be asked and answered in course of the week. And I don't want to spend more time on it right now, but I will definitely be there to talk about it on Monday next week, after it all panned out. And it will be interesting to see how this manifests itself, or what will come out of this tournament with everything kind of, or most things kind of like being like they were in DreamHack, in Marseille at DreamHack, but well, some teams that aren't obviously attending, or the thing with Na'Vi and the visa problems, so they are not able to participate in it as well. So well, like I said, it will be interesting to see how it pans out. And there was not really that much time to adjust, so it would be interesting to see maybe if the things will stay the same, or if there will be any upsets or something like this. And like I said, I will be there to talk about it next Monday. And with all of that being said, we arrived at the end of this episode. You know the drill by now. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me slash us know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you guys next week. See ya!